meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. A bit of a change in the schedule this evening, but that's okay. With me on the line is Art Wood. Art is a former Secret Service agent, currently an investigator, and has recently been quoted in the Globe magazine article regarding a search for missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. Art, how are you?
I'm good, Dana. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back to the show. We've all been wondering what's going on, and of course there is this Globe magazine article that came out here a while back that you're quoted in. Can you update us as far as the search for Natalie and what you were talking about in that article?
Well, let me make sure that we're talking about the same article.
Okay.
Was it about Joe Walker?
Yes.
And his equipment?
Right, exactly.
Okay, let me explain to you. back in August of 2005, Joe Walker came over from, he was a volunteer, came over from Tennessee. He was one of the many, many people that contacted Beth. And I may be wrong on this, but I think this is pretty accurate. I think Beth paid his way over to Aruba because he claimed that he had equipment that would help find Natalie.
Right.
Joe Walker is an older gentleman. He's in his 70s. I was very skeptical about any equipment that claims to pinpoint teeth and bones and elements.
Exactly.
Basically, I had never had any experience with any of these people that do that kind of stuff. In my career or in my life, I was never a treasure hunter. I never had any equipment that could recognize elements like gold, silver, diamonds, and things like that. But when I met Joe Walker, I was very impressed with him, and I'll explain to your listeners what equipment he has. He has this equipment that Joe Walker believes that it's a science in that every element gives off a wavelength. For instance, he thinks that every element on Earth has its own frequency,
right,
that he emits. And that's some kind of science that apparently there is some truth to that. I'm not that kind of scientist. I can't vouch for the science.
Right.
He has invented a machine that where he can identify those frequencies. And he's in his 70s, maybe 75, 78 years old now. I'm only guessing, but he's definitely in his 70s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I first met him, I could instantly tell that he was sincere. That I don't want your listeners to think that I was taken in or anything, because I wasn't. I was still very skeptical about his equipment and his claims. But I ended up chauffeuring him around a little bit and helping him work with his equipment on some of the searches. And I was convinced beyond any doubt at all that he believed in his equipment. And he believes in his science. So we did use Joe's equipment a few times, and he believes that he got readings that would pinpoint human bone and teeth, which apparently they have separate frequencies, according to him.
Right.
Just offshore of Aruba, in an area that would be plausible for a search area and plausible for an area where these kids may have dumped Natalie's body.
Talking about how deep a water, Art.
Well, in the area where he was getting his readings, I mean, it wasn't shallow by any means, but it wasn't quite 200 feet, between 100 and 200 feet.
Now, there's been some question and comments about the Diario editor, Jossie Mansour, helping out with this water search. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is what happened, and this is why the Globe called me.
Right.
Jossie called me, it's probably been 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he asked me, what did I know about Joe Walker? Joe Walker believes in his stuff so much that he had been writing Jossie, asking him to finance him to go back over for another search.
Mm-hmm.
And Jossie called me, and he wanted to know what I thought. And I said, well, Jossie, I'm still very skeptical about this method. And I think the equipment that Joe has is in infantile stages as far as technology. But I can tell you that Joe Walker is sincere, and if he's telling you that he believes it.
Right.
That's pretty much what I told Jossie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, on his own, decided to pay Joe's way over there, and they did do a search. And they ran into some problems with the equipment. Basically, Joe Walker called me just in the last couple of weeks and when he got back. And he said that he thinks that they were getting readings on human bone and teeth, but that now it was scattered off the north coast of the island in more than one location.
Is he able to tell whether or not those human bones and teeth are in a container? We've talked about crab traps.
Well, that's something that he thought originally they were all together.
Right.
They were intact. But the readings he was getting this last time was pretty much scattered. And there's no way he could tell if those were Natalie's bones. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
They have a lot of people that are like, I don't know if you understand how the Haitians try to get into the United States, some of them drown, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
They have the same problem in Aruba with some country out of South America, and there are a lot of souls lost along that coast. So, no, it wasn't productive.
Are there any plans, Art, just before I let you go, and I appreciate you coming on short notice, to go back and do another search?
There are no concrete plans, but there are at least two possible scenarios where a search could happen in the next couple months. And I don't want to go into details on those because, it's not my decision, number one. And I wouldn't want to get anybody any false hope.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've heard, and I've been contacted, that there may be a chance of two separate searches, two scenarios where searches could happen.
Okay, well, fair enough.
And if that happens, I'd be more than happy to share anything with you that I find out.
Well, you're always welcome on the program. Art Wood, former Secret Service agent, current investigator, talking about the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
You're more than welcome, Dana. Tell your listeners to have a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays coming up.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Talk soon.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Now, we were expecting Don Clark, retired FBI bureau chief, but we're having problems connecting with him. So we're going to take a break here on Scared Monkeys Radio, and we'll be right back a little bit later on. Lisa Pinto, she's a former prosecutor, and she appears regularly on Court TV and Nancy Grace's show. And we're going to be talking about our old friend OJ. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. My name's Dana Pretzer, and we'll be right back.
And now, more of the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Here's Dana.
Yeah, we're back, and we're having problems finding Don Clark tonight, so I have to apologize to you for that. So why don't we just open the phones and see if you have anything you want to say to me until we can get Lisa Pinto on the air, who is at the bottom of the hour, and that's at area code 306-842-7884. That's 306-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you like. What do you think about Art Wood? And the Globe magazine is, that's the Globe magazine. I'm not making light of their article or any information that's been posted, but I think Art said it best. When you start giving out information that may or may not be accurate, it may lead to false hope, and false hope is something in this case that we certainly don't need is happening, because there's been plenty of that already. The false hope that comes through in these situations isn't something that has to be done. Hi, you're on the air. This is the Dana Pretzer Show.
Oh, hi, it's Lisa Pinto.
Lisa, you're saving me tonight because I'm having problems with my first guest, and I'd like to put you on a little bit early. How's that?
Sure, sounds great.
And you sound great because you are nice and loud. Now, Lisa Pinto is a former prosecutor, and she appears regularly on Court TV and The Nancy Grace Show as a legal analyst. How are you, ma'am, and welcome to the show for the first time.
Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Sorry, Dana, go ahead.
That's okay. How are you, and welcome to the show for the first time here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Oh, delighted to be on. Thanks for having me.
Now, when you and I talked or corresponded via email, we were talking about OJ, and I called it something Hollywood Justice or Hollywood Injustice. Our old friend OJ today, or was it yesterday? Today, more charges have been filed against him, and is his goose going to be cooked?
Well, he's in real trouble because he has two of his co-defendants are taking pleas, and they're going to come as terms of their plea condition. They're going to testify on behalf of the prosecution. So when you have two of the guys who were there in the hotel room with you who are going to say that it was your idea, OJ, it was OJ's idea to bring the guns to the room to get the stuff he wanted to get, well, that pretty much completes the proof beyond a reasonable doubt on a robbery charge. And it also shows a conspiracy because Walter Alexander and will testify that it was OJ's idea to do this. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew the stuff he wanted to get, and he said, bring guns. And in fact, he wouldn't even go into the hotel room until he had saw his buddies with the guns. I mean, his goose is cooked.
What's refreshing to hear when I see you on TV or other legal analysts, the former prosecutor, so to speak, when you discuss the case, the facts of the case, then when you hear the defense attorneys talking about all goes to credibility, that these guys that were with OJ that may have pled guilty and may be testifying against him are about as credible as a fart in a windstorm, how do you reply or how do you respond to that? There are not a lot of co-accused that are testifying against others that are credible. That's why they got in trouble in the first place.
Well, the two, Charles Cashmore, Walter Alexander, they're not the worst of the worst. Typically, when there's a murder of a drug lord, who's there? Well, people buying drugs or people who work with him. And so you say, yes, these people have prior felonies. They're not credible. Perhaps they've committed theft. So that, again, goes to their tendency to lie. But when you take a guy like Walter Alexander, he was a real estate agent. He's a real estate broker from Arizona. I don't believe he has any prior convictions that I'm aware of. And he's a friend of OJ. So if you think about it, what's his motive to lie? Okay, maybe to save his own skin, but he doesn't appear to be a career criminal. He was formerly a golfing buddy and friend, so it's hard for him to testify. And he realizes he made a colossal mistake, namely going with people with guns to rob someone. I think he's going to come across pretty well when he takes the stand. But typically, this is the classic play from the defense lawyer's book. Oh, he's just, because he's cooperating, therefore he must be lying. Not always true. People who see crimes are typically people who are either are criminals themselves or in the midst of the crime themselves. Those are the people. It's not the preacher on the corner who sees the armed robbery.
How difficult is it as a prosecutor to come against a case like this with a high-profile accused? We talk about Hollywood Injustice, OJ,
right.
Robert Blake.
Yeah, I don't understand how these guys keep getting off. I mean, I don't understand those guys on the Spectre jury or the Blake jury. I mean, they were clearly bedazzled by the celebrity factor. I mean, I guess maybe I'm just too sort of ordinary citizen type, and, I like my TV and so forth, but It seems to me, if the prosecution puts on a case like they did certainly in the Specter case, with four women saying, this man stuck a gun in my face, this man was crazy with the guns, and then an admission by the defendant, I think I killed someone, you would think that would be enough to convict. You would think, right? But whether it was his crazy hairdo or his record as a record producer or those bogus forensics, the L.A. juries do seem to be dazzled. Not sure that the Vegas juries are as easily dazzled as the L.A. juries, and I don't think the New York juries are like that, in my experience.
Lisa, does the media do a good job when they cover these sorts of stories? The people are obviously fascinated with them. They want to hear more and more. Like, how much can we hear about Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan and some old troglodyte got picked up in Hollywood for drunk driving here yesterday,
right.
Gary... I can't think of his last name now. I used to see him on the Love Boat.
Gary Busey.
Yeah, Gary, what the heck's his name? Used to see him. He was a big star on the Love Boat and those classic shows.
Yeah, I should know. My era, too. But everyone, David Hasselbeck was in trouble again, wasn't he? He's a Hasselhoff. He was in trouble again.
Yep.
Remember, there was that video of him. I mean, yeah, these guys are always getting picked up drunk and girls because it's this high-stress life being in, Hollywood. You get rejected 1,000 times before you make the cut. But they're addicts. Some of them are addicts. I think Brittany clearly has a drug problem. And I don't know if it's alcohol and drugs or drugs. I should say alcohol problem. And I guess just because she's making all that money and she's made so many songs doesn't mean she has her act together. I mean, it's pretty sad to see. I think we're fascinated to see that someone with all those... with all that money, with all that talent, with all those potential opportunities, could make such a disaster of their life and raise their children. I mean, you feel sorry for Britney's children.
Yeah, exactly.
Those two little boys. I mean, what a childhood are they going to have? I don't know. I think we're fair to them. I think if you put yourself in the spotlight, you're accountable to the public. And if you are a drunken, unfit mother, we should feel free to talk about it.
Gary Collins is who's the one, and it's on TMZ here. You see him being handcuffed in his slippers. He was a big time star on Fantasy Island, but this is no fantasy. These Hollywood types are having huge substance abuse problems. Kiefer Sutherland with 200 plus readings on the intoxilizer. They're a danger, yet they seem to be put into a high standard by some of these websites and shows and then when they do get sent. Nicole Richie, for example, they spend 4 hours in jail. Is there something wrong with this system?
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a high standard. I would say that was... Remember, I mean, Paris Hilton, how fast she got out of jail. Everyone thought money... everyone was going nuts because, but she got her motorcade to the jail and she spent about 10 minutes there. I think, Gary Collins crashed a car. He could have killed people. No, he's not. Theoretically, he wasn't at fault in the accident, I guess. But if you're drunk, you shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car. Whether you've been on, JAG, The Young and the Restless, or anything else for however many years, you should be responsible. And, was it his first one? That's the other one I'd like to know. With Paris Hilton, we knew that she was driving with a suspended license. You don't get two bites at the apple, celebrity or common person. I think these people... They should be held to a standard because a lot of young women look to people like Paris Hilton and they say, gee, she's hot, I want to dress like her, she's so cool, she's this. Well, if she's acting like a raging addict who's violating the law and, possibly endangering people in her neighborhood, she should be held accountable.
If you're just tuning in, Lisa Pinto is here. She's a former prosecutor, and she appears regularly on Court TV and the Nancy Grace Show as a legal analyst. Let's talk about some of these cable shows, some that you've been on as a legal analyst and as a guest host. Are they today, because cable news outlets have a 24/7 standard that they have to fill, and there's only so much news, are they today doing what they should be doing when we're seeing these types of stories being covered over and over again? And can you only talk so much about them, or is there lots to talk about?
Well, you know, I mean, it's supply and demand. When the ratings dropped, they stopped talking about the story. But America wants to know. When Natalie Holloway disappeared,
yeah.
You know, it was everyone's worst nightmare. My daughter goes off on a high school trip and she never comes back.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a missing child or the sex offender living next door, a Jessica Cooley story, America wants to know because, God forbid, your upstairs neighbor is an unregistered sex offender. I think, if anything, it's raised public awareness. Stories like Nancy does a great job at raising public awareness about the dangers of latent pedophilia. And, you know, she's when they're missing kids, she does everything she can to promote, you know, to have people look for the child and give tips. So I see it as a service to the public.
Keeping the story alive is important because there are a lot of stories out there. But when it comes down to cable news outlets picking the story, because there are lots out there, you could do a full-time show just on missing people, sadly.
Right.
How do you go to do that? How do you choose? And how do you decide what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, that's a production decision. You know, usually the talent sort of is, well, at least from my experience, I'm told what I'm going to talk about. And so I do my independent research and come up with my opinions. But certainly, I think the Lacey Peterson captured America's attention because she was the girl next door, that photogenic smile, pregnant, in the prime of her life. She had everything that middle-class America aspires to have. And, you know, her husband with no prior record for any violence, no talk of domestic abuse. Not, you know, it turns out he chopped her up into the bay. That's a story that we followed because it riveted America. Nobody could believe that someone could do something that sociopathic.
Are we putting, and I do it myself here on the program, are we putting these animals like Scott Peterson on a pedestal so that the sickos out there have something to talk about and something to watch? Because I'm sure you get the hate mail the same as I do.
I think we put Scott Peterson in jail. I mean,
exactly.
You know, Mark Garagos was very busy putting on a dog and pony show. I don't know if you recall, he had, I think, Dr. Wecht or Dr. Lee photographed with these large envelopes that said evidence in capital letters. Well, that so-called evidence never appeared at trial. I mean, they were putting on a first-class show, and it was only the analysts in the media who kept, and, you know, people like Nancy and Catherine Cryer, who kept hammering home, you know, the prosecution case. Then I think we sort of kept the story, we kept the eye on the ball, which is what a prosecutor you try to do in the courtroom. Don't let the jurors get distracted by all this other mystery man stuff. Keep them focused on the evidence, even in a especially in a circumstantial case. He had the motive. He was in a boat in the bay. You know, he was on his cell phone at the rally for her. These were the, and I think we do this, the government a service when we take our experience and we say, look, I think this guy is guilty because.
The high profile defense attorneys that are doing their job, whether we like it or not, it's the system, it's the best system that we have. But you see them almost, and I hate to use the term, but what the heck, I'm going to use it anyway, pimping themselves and their clients. I use the Britney Spears case here with her children and this big bodyguard that all of a sudden showed up in the media and a high-profile attorney representing him.
Yeah.
Are they doing a service or are they just doing their job?
Well, in the bodyguard's case, I mean, maybe there's a book deal I don't know about that he's going to get, but his evidence was the base. He said basically that Britney was, I think, what'd she say, that she was acting inappropriately in front of the children. I think the allegations were drugs and something about her demeanor, whether it was being clothed or something like that. And then the L.A. judge, the judge in L.A. who was a family court judge, based on that firsthand evidence, took away custody for the children. So in a way, you know, he was a smoking gun. Now, we'll see if there's some lawsuit that's going to follow for wrongful termination or if there's a book deal or reality service. I don't know, and I don't pretend to be naive and say that that's not in the works. I don't know. But he certainly, I mean, he was a good Samaritan because those children, those boys are now with their father, who is allegedly not drinking and drugging. So, you know, all, one could say he did the right thing. I mean, I think that everyone's learned how to play the media. I would argue that defense attorneys are much better at it.
Right.
You know, because for the most part, they're more media savvy. You take Mickey Sherman, you take Mark Garagos, you take Gail Glentner, you take Joe Tacopina. They regularly appear on TV. They're extremely persuasive on television, and they're very good in front of a jury. And they figure out the theory of their case early on. With Joe Tacopina, I don't know if you remember the case he tried recently in New Jersey, a woman who was alleged to have killed her husband. I think she was convicted. The nurse was convicted.
Yep.
She was having an affair. You know, he had a good story, and he put that story on in television. He put that story on in front of the jury, and it was one cohesive thing that he did, and he was quite persuasive. So I would argue they're just doing their job. What I don't like is the personal attacks. Once in a while, I'll go on with a lawyer, and he just starts, you know, sort of the type that's a true believer in Hayes prosecution, and he'll just start attacking me because he thinks that's sort of what a defense attorney should do. You know, and I think that's where it rises to a level of unnecessary hostility. You know, we're both representing different viewpoints. It's not a courtroom. You know, be respectful. But apart from that.
When you see O.J. Simpson on television with his narcissistic, sociopathic mantra about him, and I'm the one that's saying that, and then
right.
you see the Goldman family, you see the Holloway family, you see the other families that are out there, and you want to help, you want to do the best that you can.
Sure.
From the perspective as of a prosecutor and now as an analyst, how difficult is it to see these pompous asses like O.J. on TV spouting their stuff, and then to see the families who you just want to reach out and do what you can for, but they keep running into roadblock after roadblock?
Well, I mean, you know, I have to draw a distinction there. Someone like O.J. is a vicious sociopath who we all believe killed at least two people that we know of, has seemed to have had, you know, get into these road rage type episodes and nothing happens to him, and now appears to have orchestrated a violent robbery at gunpoint, and is, you know, acting as if completely bewildered as the fact that he's that people want him to do jail time. I mean, that he, you know, sociopaths ruin lives, and he's already ruined several. And you know, the suffering of the Goldmans can't be measured. I mean, the suffering of the of Nicole Brown. I mean,
right.
What a way to go, and to know that nothing was, that there was no justice. I feel the victims that I have the most empathy for, because I am a parent of three, is the parents of children who are murdered. Because, you know, an adult woman or male, horrible ending, but a child who knew no better, who, you know, who was buried alive in a grave, who was sexually assaulted before their death. I mean, how do you grieve? How do you understand the grief that these parents feel? There is no greater socio-psychological stressor than the loss of a child, they tell us. And to have to know, to see that on television, to know that your child's killer, you know, is in the media, those are the people I feel sorry for, the most sorry for.
Absolutely. Are you okay for about another 10 minutes, Lisa?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Lisa Pinto's here, and we're talking a little bit about everything. We're talking about the Hollywood justice system somewhat. I had a publicist on the air here a couple of weeks back. He actually represented Lana Clarkson, Phil Spector is accused of killing, and we were talking about Hollywood juries, Los Angeles juries, whatever you want to call them. And he made the comment about, is there ever going to be a Los Angeles jury that is able to come forward and not be glitzed and glamored by these high-profile lawyers and these high-profile cases, come back with a fair sentence? Now, some would say that he's biased, but is that a fair statement from him?
You know, after Spector, I mean, I would agree with that statement. Because, you know, Ashley Banfield, who's a friend of mine, she took the one juror to task. And he basically could not come up with a coherent reason for acquitting Spector. It really, the evidence was all there. I mean, they had it all. And when we remember that the Henry Lee, I mean, he basically was accused by the prosecution of hiding a piece of evidence.
Right.
Even with that stain on them, they still managed to bamboozle a jury. I just, I find it incomprehensible as an attorney who's been in practice since 1993 that jurors could be so unwilling to use their common sense. And it wasn't proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It was almost proof to a mathematical certainty, the Spectre. I mean, the blood spatter, he clearly cleaned up the scene. He had made an admission. I mean, what more do you want? And now the CSI factor, of course, you add that in, too, with a California jury. They expect, I think they expect the L.A. Police Department to have the computers that they have on CSI, where you take a hair, you put it into the computer, and all of a sudden someone's mugshot pops up with an exact address, I mean, it's just not the way it works, folks. You have to do some gumshoe. You have to rely on eyewitness testimony. You have to put things together. There's not always going to be a direct case. Sometimes you're going to have to put the pieces together, and you're going to have to be able to say to the juror, yes, I know it's raining outside because someone came in with a wet umbrella. That's enough to tell me it's raining outside. I don't have to go outside and see that it's raining.
Exactly. Lisa Pinto's here. The whole question about is the system fair? Joe Sixpack, who gets arrested and has to use a public defender to defend him, compared to the Hollywood high-priced attorney, and everyone comes forward and say that, and they say that O.J. has bought his acquittal, Blake bought his acquittal, all that sort of stuff. Again, is that a fair statement?
Well, there's something to be said. If you can afford it, the top DNA expert in the land, plus the best jury consultant, plus six expert witnesses who are very adept at putting on a whole show about, blood spatter, plus three great lawyers who file motion after motion and just wear the prosecution down, sure, you've got a much better shot. Plus, you're setting up a fancy appeal, and you've got the appellate lawyers ready to go, and they're telling you, what to do so you preserve that that objection for appeal. Because remember, in the appellate process, they have to have something to work with. So you've got to set it up on the trial level so that then when they make the argument to the appellate court, there's a good record from the trial. Certainly money helps in this business. But at the same time, when it's a capital case, or a serious case, they're going to put a top public defender on it. You're not going to get some schmo. You're going to get someone who knows what they're doing and who has resources behind them and who has an office with investigators and so forth to make sure that the person gets a fair trial.
Let's just before I let you go, and again, I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know what I do when I'm not doing this show, so I'm a little bit pro-law enforcement. Law enforcement officers getting a bad rap in these high-profile cases? There are some obvious cases, Holloway, for example, the McCann case with the little missing girl where there's just total bumbling and incompetense. But it seems like the defense attorney will jump
They're
on
all foreign jurisdictions, of course.
Exactly. Yeah, good point. They'll jump on the cops right away.
And Aruba, not Canada or the United States.
Exactly. They'll jump on the cops right away, though, and say, that's the problem. The officer is crooked. Mark Furman is the biggest example of that. Let's talk about that for a minute before I let you go.
Well, you'll never hear me bash a cop because I worked with police officers for most of my career, and you go out there and you're getting shot at, and you can't second guess what people do when their life is in danger. It may not, who's to say? And I always feel that police officers do the best job they can, but they're easy targets. And, all you need is a couple of Law and Order shows where people are getting roughed up. And then the defense attorney plays on that and says, this interrogation was, could you give him a glass of water? And the public starts believing that stuff. But that's just ACLU propaganda. I mean, you and I know that cops are decent people who just want to go home to their families and do their job and put bad guys in prison. And no one's getting beaten over the head by a telephone book.
Yeah, exactly.
More often than not, they're being told they can't search a place without a warrant, or they can't go into the trunk of the car because they don't have a warrant, and they lose valuable evidence. So,
Well, I can remember a case of mine many years ago in it was a homicide case, and on video, the defense attorney sees me saying to the accused, "I want to help you." And he says, well, you made him a promise. And here in Canada, it's no promise or favor. And I said, he said, what did you mean by that when you said you wanted to help him? I said, I want to help you. That's well, what do you mean when you say something like that? So it's that attack on credibility that drives me crazy.
And I'm guessing he's been up 20 hours, so maybe you weren't word perfect for everything, you know?
Exactly. You know, I guess what I should have said is, without influencing your statement, can I help you get you a cup of coffee or something? That, of course, that would have been a favor.
Even allowed to be hospitable, right? And then they fault you for that, not giving something to drink.
Exactly.
No win.
What's next for you? I know you're busy. Tell us a little bit about what your plans are.
Well, my plans are actually to go back into government service. I've had a lot of fun doing television and journalism. But now that my kids are a little older, I'm actually ready to go back, and I'm trying to I'm interviewing with the district attorney's offices to go back and try cases, go back into the trenches.
Well, you're good at it, and to have you back on the good guy's side would be appreciated. One thing about prosecutors, DAs, whatever, you're totally underpaid, and hopefully they'll smarten that up a bit.
That is true, but you know what? I see it as service, and I really care passionately about victims' rights, and I really do. If I can keep one sex offender in jail or make sure that someone's registered who's supposed to be, or help one child victim or adult victim of a violent crime, then you know that it's not just money. Besides, my husband, who's sitting right here, works hard, so I can make the money.
There you go. Lisa Pinto, thank you. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Oh, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, ma'am.
Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye. That's Lisa Pinto, former prosecutor. You see her on Court TV and The Nancy Grace Show. I have made contact with Don Clark. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Don Clark, who is in the Bahamas, and we're going to talk to him about the Bahamas. We'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. Don Clark became a special agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, where he served until his retirement on February 3, 2000. While at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Clark undertook a broad range of investigative responsibilities. He supervised numerous high-profile investigations, including the 1979 Iranian hostage crisis. He facilitated the movement of the Shah of Iran from New York to San Antonio. This guy has been a bureau chief. He's been in law enforcement a long time. He's a current investigator. And he's been under attack here a little bit in the news media, and in particular by a low-class individual by the name of Lincoln Bain in the Bahamas, who has a TV show called Controversy TV. And I got sick of it. And you'll hear me do a daily commentary here last week about Don Clark and Lincoln Bain. And I thought I'd invite Don Clark onto the show. Hi, Don. How are you?
Dana, I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. And I salute you for your service in the FBI. You're actually in the Bahamas right now, are you not?
Yes, I am, Dana. I came down. We still have a lot of matters that's left unattended. And, you know, we've got to work to get those resolved.
You know, I wanted to bring you on and talk to you about this whole incident. And I know, as a man of professional background, law enforcement background, and seeing some of the interviews that you've done on TV where you've basically been attacked, I wouldn't have blamed you a bit if you'd come back to me and said, listen, just let me do my job. I'm sick of this. I don't want to talk about it anymore, because I think that's how I would have responded. But you're a Class A guy. You decided to come on the air. Let's talk about this a little bit. I'm going to ask you three questions, and then we're going to get into your career a little bit.
Okay.
Number one, are you Rita Cosby's source for her book when it comes to the nannies and all these other allegations that she's making?
No. No, I'm not Rita Cosby's source, Dana. In fact, I was one of the people who were probably most surprised when Rita came out with her book. You know, I know of Rita, I'd known of her, and certainly I've got to know her better since her book, because when I read her book and I started looking at some things in there, I thought, whoa, you know, she's right in line with where we're thinking. But I'm not Rita Cosby's source in her books. We have clients here with Iowa Law Firm, and I wasn't looking to make a case or help Iowa Law Firm make a case in the media, but make it in the courtroom where it should be.
Absolutely, and you're doing your job. When you hear this name Lincoln Bain, if that is truly his name, and you see this TV show Controversy TV, and you've been honest and forthright enough to actually go on the air with this guy, I know as a law enforcement officer myself for the past 25 years, to watch him speak, to see his inconsistent and hear his inconsistent statements, to look at his eye contact, body language, prepared statements, read statements. It just drove me crazy that the cable news outlets, the hosts, and some of the talking heads on these shows were buying this guy as credible. I wanted to reach through the TV and just shake some people and say, what are you doing? This guy is as phony as a $3 bill. Let's talk about Lincoln Bain.
Well, you know, Dana, I think your assessment is right on target. And my job is to assist our law firm in making the best cases that we possibly can. And I maintain the same integrity that I did in the FBI. That you don't make a case the bad way because you're no better than the criminal if you use those kind of tactics. So you use the right tactics and you try to make a case. And when I made an appointment to sit down with Lincoln Bain and Elizabeth Thompson to talk with the nannies, because we had decided that they may have some information that may be beneficial in this case, I came over totally and I hate to use this term, but kind of naive in terms of, I'm not going to take tape
right
out of conversations. Number one, Dana, I don't know the laws in the Bahamas regarding taping of conversation, and they vary from state to state, and they vary from country to country. And I don't want to do anything that's illegal. So the last thing on my mind was taping a conversation with those people, because I thought that they might be as legitimate as we were trying to be in terms of getting information that may move our case forward. So that's how I met this person. And when the numbers start to spew out from them as to what it would take for us to be able to sit down with these nannies, I just thought it was absurd. And I said, you know what? I got to go back and think about this.
Follow the money trail. It seems like this guy, who is a media whore. Can you say media on the air? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
you can say media on the air.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And who has been pimping himself all over every talk show is looking for a career and looking for some money. But in all your time in law enforcement, FBI, investigations, you name it, have you ever had someone come to you and say, well, besides maybe a confidential source, and we won't get into that, that's a show for another time,
right,
pay me for the information. You must have been shocked at that.
Yeah, I actually was a bit shocked. I wasn't shocked, Dana, at the point, and I recognize that I've been out here in the civilian world now for about 7 years, and I recognize that there are things that you do have to legitimately pay for.
Right.
You know, and so I'm prepared to do that. I don't expect people to sit down with me and waste their time. I won't say waste their time, but extend their time with me and me not compensate them in some way or the other. So that's the real world out here and outside of government working. But in terms of paying just enormous, large amounts for to sit down with a conversation with someone, I couldn't bring myself to do that. Even it's not my money, but I represent the head of our law firm when I'm doing this, and I couldn't do that. I just thought that was absurd. I said, there's no way am I going to do that.
Absolutely. It comes to credibility and standards, and when it comes to something like that, I want to get your thoughts on these so-called sting operations by the media. You had enough sense in your experience as a law enforcement officer to know that recording private conversations in some jurisdictions is incredibly illegal, yet we're hearing all of these news organizations coming out with all of these tapes, and that question never seems to be asked as far as, should have Rita Cosby been taped in the first place? Should Lincoln Bain have been taped or whatever? Is the media shooting themselves in the foot when they're coming out with this, all of these tapes, or is this what the public really wants to hear?
Well, the public likes to hear exciting things that's going on, but I think the media does have to be careful with the position that they take on this, because all of a sudden, if it raises itself to another level, the media could get caught in that situation too, in terms of taping conversations or whatever it is that they may be doing without some type of authority. But now, when we get back to Rita Cosby, you know, from what I know of Rita Cosby and my dealings with her since the book, I believe Rita Cosby is an exceptionally credible person.
Yes.
You know, I do think that it may have been precipitous for her to come over and deal with people that she was way out of her league.
Yep.
And she just ran into a buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I like Rita. I respect her. I think she probably did. She did a very good job in researching this, because there are many things in the book that I've seen that I said, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, so I'm not going to be against Rita on this thing, but excuse me, but I don't think that Rita needed to come over here and try to justify.
Yep.
Just let it go and let the chips fall where they may. Wherever she got the information from, she felt it was factual, and move on with it. And but I think that's where the error may have come on Rita's part. That may have been a lack of experience in dealing in these types of situations. And you know what else? What else, Dana? I was the same way. When Geraldo asked Dana if he taped the conversation with me and my other investigator over here in the Bahamas, and he said yes, I was absolutely shocked.
Right.
Now, I've been around this business for a lot of years, and I was absolutely shocked. I didn't expect that I would be taped, but I didn't care that I was taped, because I know that I wasn't going to say or offer anything that would be improprietary. So it didn't bother me, but I was absolutely shocked. But then I was even more shocked when he said that, well, yeah, I have a copy of the tape, and Geraldo says, okay, produce the tape.
Right.
Well, I can't find it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to be an Einstein to figure out, excuse me, if that tape was so important to you, and Don Clark said this, and you can't find it, come on. That doesn't make any sense, Dana.
Exactly. You said buzzsaw a couple of weeks back. I said a pit of cobras. Rita went too far, and she should have left that to her attorneys, investigators, or whatever. But that's besides
right.
the point. That's happened. But I want to talk about you just for a couple of minutes here. You're quite busy, obviously, working for your law firm. What is a normal day for Don Clark? Are you busier now than what you were in the FBI?
You know, Dana, I don't know. You hit it right on the head. I am busier. When I was in the FBI, and I managed three field divisions, and I knew my job, and I loved my job every day that I've gone there. But since I've come out of there, I love what I do now, and I'm working harder now, perhaps, than I was, but I enjoy it. I think it has a cause, it has principle to it, and we're trying to do the right thing for people, and so I am very comfortable with what I'm doing, but I'm very busy. I travel a lot, but thank goodness that I'm still a runner. And I'm still able to get up early in the morning and run and go to the gym, and that gives me my energy to keep going. And besides, I got some little grandkids too that I have to keep running after, and they live up in New Jersey, and I love to get down up to see them as often as possible, so it keeps me going.
Well, I will stand up for any credible law enforcement agent, and when I hear them attacked in the media, I will stand up for them. Yes, there are law enforcement or retired law enforcement agents that aren't credible, but you, sir, are credible, and you are welcome on my program anytime, and I thank you for spending some time with us tonight.
Dana, it's a pleasure, and if I can do anything add to you, provide information, please give me a call.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Don Clark, retired FBI agent, and I do apologize for getting him on the air a little bit late. He is busy, but I wanted to talk to him about this whole investigation and this whole character by the name of Lincoln Bain. That's it. That's my show. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. Remember, our webpage is scaredmonkeysradio.com, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.